Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Morning, we celebrate All Saints Sunday, and in the life of the church, it's a joyous occasion. It's a time of remembering and celebrating the faithful ones who have gone before us, who have finished their course in faith and who now rest from their labors. It's a time of honoring our connections with ancestors, beloveds, family, and friends, with the whole communion of saints as we gather in the mystery of God's embrace, partaking of the feast God prepares for those in heaven and on earth. It's a time of reaffirming our belief in a God who is moved by our tears and who is making all things new, transforming all that might seem lost, empty, hopeless, into something brimming with life and possibility. It's a time of claiming once again that death is not the end, but that death has been defeated, swallowed up in and through Jesus Christ. All Saints Sunday in the life of the church is a joyous occasion indeed. But even as I say that All Saints Sunday is a joyous occasion, I'm aware that it's probably impossible to celebrate this day without experiencing deep pangs of grief. It's probably impossible to celebrate this day without at least a few tears welling up in our eyes. It's probably impossible to celebrate this day without feeling the ache of longing for family and friends, the saints of our lives who have gone before us. And perhaps on this All Saints Sunday, we experience in a very poignant way the reality that life can sometimes hold a mysterious mixture of joy and sorrow all in the same moment. And our scripture passage for this morning honors this notion and gives us generous permission to bring a rather mixed bag of emotions to this All Saints Sunday. We bring our joy and deep gratitude for loved ones who have revealed something true and beautiful about God in our midst. And we also bring our sorrow as we experience the reality of them no longer present in our earthly realm, no longer easily accessible through a quick phone call, a warm embrace, a caring smile, a card in the mail, or a text message, depending on what generation you're from. Now, for some of us, it's easier to bring our joy and thanksgiving to God and one another than it is to bring our sadness. I imagine that's true for many of us. Many of us are uncomfortable with our tears, so we try to shed them in more private places, far away from God and from those we love. Yet the biblical witness is sprinkled with the tears of our forefathers and foremothers in faith. The psalmist cried out in Psalm 42, saying, "My tears have been my food day and night." In Psalm 126, the pilgrims returned to Jerusalem shouting, "Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy." The prophet Jeremiah lamented, saying, "Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people." The writer of Ecclesiastes said that there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. During the slaughter of the innocents, King Herod's killing of the infant children, the cries of Rachel echoed throughout the gospel as women wept inconsolably for their children. In Luke's gospel, a woman stood in front of Jesus with an alabaster jar, weeping and bathing his feet with her tears. In the epistles, Paul reached out to one of his congregations saying, "I wrote you out of much distress and anguish of heart and with many tears." And then in our gospel reading for today, we hear and experience the tears of Mary and Martha and the tears of Jesus himself, who wept for Lazarus, the one he called friend. And it might be helpful to back up just a few steps to the beginning of this story about Jesus and Lazarus. In the section of scripture just prior to what Adam read today, we learn that Jesus and his disciples had just left the region of Judea, their lives having been threatened, when they received a message from Mary and Martha, Lazarus's sisters, saying that Lazarus was ill and asking Jesus to come back. Jesus didn't respond immediately, but after 2 days, he returned to Bethany, putting himself in harm's way to go back into that region. He encountered Lazarus's sister, Martha, and the first words out of her mouth were, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus told her Lazarus would rise, and Martha, thinking that Jesus was talking about sometime way off in the future, said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And then Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who believes in me will never die." And then Jesus asked Martha if she believed this. Not if she understood it, but if she believed it. And Martha said, "Yes." And this is where our reading for today begins. Jesus then encountered Mary, Lazarus's other sister, who met Jesus with the very same greeting. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And perhaps depleted of words, of energy, of everything, she wept. And those around her also began to weep. The scripture says that Jesus was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved, and that he began to weep also. Now, a more literal translation of the phrase "Jesus was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved" is "he was brimming with indignation and churning inside." Similar, maybe, but certainly not the same. Because what the original Greek captures that the English doesn't is that part of what Jesus felt in the midst of this sadness was anger. Some have suggested that he was angry with the people for their lack of understanding. I don't really see that. It doesn't seem as if Jesus was angry with Mary or Martha either. He wasn't angry with himself. He wasn't angry with God. No, I have to believe that he was angry. He was angry at death itself. He was saddened and angry that death had claimed his friend. And Jesus' response to his sadness and anger was not to stop death, was not to somehow prevent death, was not to postpone death, but his response was to overcome death altogether, to demolish its power. And he demonstrated that intention when he raised Lazarus from the dead, commanding him to come out of the tomb he had been in for 4 days. And then he did that once and for all in and through his own death and resurrection. He took the power of death, the sting of death, and made it no more. "I am the resurrection and the life," he said. He didn't say, "I bring the resurrection," or I am the deliverer of the resurrection, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And just as Jesus commanded that Lazarus be unbound from his burial claws, the claws that still clung to him when he exited the tomb after 4 days, so Jesus' life, death, and resurrection unbind us, in a sense, in life-changing ways. We hear resonances of this unbinding, this liberation, in our First Testament reading from Isaiah as well. The prophet said, as you heard Adam read, he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Through Jesus, we are unbound from the power of death as we once knew it. We are liberated by the belief that life will overcome death at the end of our earthly existence. But we are also unbound from the power of death in our here and now, in our day-to-day lives as well. And that doesn't mean that we are released from all hardship or suffering, from illness or struggle in this life. No, those experiences are inherently a part of our human experience. But in knowing Jesus as the resurrection, we are unbound from the ultimate power of death. We are unbound from the fear and hopelessness that can too often be death's close companions. We are unbound because we know, we believe that death will not have the final word, that God will wipe away the tears from all faces, as Scripture says, and that life in the end wins. Life always wins. That is the message that we as the church proclaim on Easter Sunday. And in that every Sunday is considered a little Easter, it is the message that we proclaim every Sunday, not to mention all of the days in between. We live in the shadow of death. That is undeniable. As those who have weathered this terrible pandemic, we have experienced that truth in heartbreaking ways. But we know, we hold on to, like Mary and Martha, we believe that death does not and will not have the final word. And that, in the end, by the power of God's love, life wins. So on this All Saints Sunday, we remember and we give thanks. We grieve for certain. We make space for our sorrow. We honor our tears as signs of the love that we have shared with dear ones. And we celebrate. We celebrate the lives of so many who have brought us meaning, joy, laughter, challenge, caring, beauty, insight, love, and grace into our lives. We celebrate the lives of so many who have taught us about our faith, who have shown us what it means to be people of faith through their love and their witness and their example. Even as we join in the refrain that will be a part of our time of remembrance, it says, absent from our midst and together we'll say, present with the Lord. Even as we join in that refrain, may we feel the abiding connection with these saints of our lives, knowing that while we no longer see each other face to face, we are joined together, heart to heart, spirit to spirit, in the power of God's resurrection hope and at the table of God's love. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Loving and almighty God, we come into these moments of prayer with hearts and spirits that are both tender with grief and filled with hope and joy. We hold these two things together in our human experience, and we know that you hold us in the midst of all of our feelings and experiences and life journeys. As we feel the blowing of this wind, as we hear the ringing of these bells, bring to heart and mind those saints of our lives, the ones who have taught us so much about life and love, about living and learning, about forgiving, about picking ourselves up and moving on, about leaning into you and to one another, finding strength and peace and grace for our every time of need. Be with us as we turn now to name those that we have lost in this last year. Be with us as we celebrate their lives and the gifts that they have given to us. Help us to honor their legacy by sharing the best of them, that we might share our faith with others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.